So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. Today we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 through to 26. But before we do that, we're going to come to the Lord in prayer and commit our time to him. So let's pray. Gracious Father, as we come to you, we come this morning as those who recognise that we are in need of a gracious Saviour. We recognise that we're in need of one who will speak to our greatest needs. And so we come looking at your word this morning, expecting that you might speak to us, expectant that you might help us to understand your ways. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. So I'm going to read to you from Joshua chapter 7 and from verse 13 through to 26. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which was devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. Well, in the morning, present your tribes, yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes shall come forward, family by family. And the family that the Lord takes shall come forward, man by man. He who is caught with the devoted things will be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Well, early the next morning, Joshua and Israel came forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerites. He had the clan of the Zerites come forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua and his family came forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done, and do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I have done. And when I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took the things from the tent and brought them to Joshua and to the and all the Israelites and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, and the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. And then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. And after Achan had heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day, then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. And therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. So sin is horrible. It eats away at our lives and the lives of others. And the problem with sin is it seems to offer so much gain. Achan, the man who is found out and discovered in today's reading, was convinced that no one would know or no one would really care. He thought probably that others had done what he had done. Well, at least that's probably what he was reasoning in his mind. The fact is, he saw a pile of treasure when he entered Jericho. He realized that he would never be able to earn that amount of money in his lifetime, and so he decided then and there that it didn't matter what God thought about it. It didn't matter whether it was wrong. What mattered was that he had what he wanted. And still today, that's the way that we act when it comes to getting what we want. We might know that God has said that what we want is wrong. We might know that it would have its consequences, but sadly that knowledge will not stop us. I notice that even when Achan's sin has affected the whole of the Israelites, making them weak in the battle, too weak to face the smallest of enemies, even then Achan was prepared to remain silent about what he has done. So Joshua instructs the people to be ready for God, to inspect them the next day. And now, whatever those consecration rituals were like, I have no doubt that Achan and his family went through the motions of doing them as well. To all around him, he would have appeared his normal self. No one around him or his family could detect that they were in rebellion to God. Theirs was a secret sin, a sin that was hidden from everyone else, that is, except God. And as the lots were cast, Achan is thinking that no one knows. I suspect he's convinced himself that there's little chance of him being found out. And as each lot is cast, his confidence probably begins to fade. But he loves his riches more than he fears God. It's only when the lot lands on him that he finally realizes that he's been found out. He finally confesses and declares where he has laid the treasure. There is no repentance in him, just an acknowledgement that he's been found out. Now, Achan and all his family have chosen to take that which was for destruction. And because they have taken that for which is set aside for destruction, then his family is to go the same way. He is now marked out for destruction. What is sad is that he and his family were given opportunity after opportunity to own up and to confess, yet they would not do it. What is sad is that they forfeited their lives in order to gain a treasure that they would never, be theirs. What is sad is that there was no love for God in any of their hearts. And we have this account as a warning to us. Be sure your sins will find you out. Be sure that God knows what you do, even what you do in secret. And be sure that when God says that there are consequences for your sin, there are. Be sure that God will give you opportunity to repent, but ultimately you will answer for your sin if you refuse to own your own guilt before him. Now, as we look back through the lens of Christ to this event, we can rejoice that our sin can be brought to Jesus Christ, that in his dying on the cross, sin's penalty was paid, the way of forgiveness was opened up. We can rejoice that though all sin deserves death, he was raised to life so that we might know that there is a way through death to be with God and to be in the place where no one will be overcome with sin anymore. This, however, does not mean that the consequences of unrepentant sin is not bad. Still today, sin in the life of a church hampers its growth and makes it weak. Still today, God will not honour a person or a church who continues unrepentant. Today, then, is a day for soul searching, for repentance, and for renewing your walk with God. Whether that's you coming to him for the first time to acknowledge him as Lord and Saviour, or whether that's you returning to keep a short account with God for the 100th time, still today is a day to make sure that sin is not taking root in our lives. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we ask that we might be those that keep short accounts with you, that we would confess our sin to you, Lord, that we would not be convinced by the evil one that the things of this life that you've said are wrong and are evil, that we would not be convinced that they are for our gain. Father, we pray instead that we would realize, Lord, that these things are destined for destruction. And should we go after them, then destruction is on the cards for us. So, Father, we pray that in your grace, that you would remind us again and again of our need of our gracious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen.